In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter, James, and John had just eyewitnessed the event of a lifetime. Jesus had singled them out, 3 out of the 12, to go along with him up the slopes of a nearby mountain by themselves. As ones who could certainly and would certainly argue about who the greatest disciple among the 12 was, these three had to feel a sense of accomplishment at having been chosen by Jesus. And while they were up on that mountain, Luke tells us that it was while Jesus was praying that Jesus was transfigured before them. And the word, therefore, transfigure in the Greek means that it is the whole person's being that was transformed, not merely something in the eyes of the beholder or only a superficial change in Jesus. The change mentioned by Mark was that Jesus' clothes became radiant. They radiated light from within, so intensely bright and white. There was nothing else like it in all the earth. In addition to Jesus' whole being changed, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. These great prophets for the Hebrew people were there talking with Jesus. And again, it is Luke who tells us about Jesus, they're talking about Jesus' exodus, a.k.a. his coming death upon the cross. Totally confounded and utterly terrified, Peter attempts to contribute to this situation by offering to build 3 shelters, 3 tabernacles for these far greater than normal human beings. And while Peter was making this suggestion, a great cloud overshadowed them all. Mountaintop experiences with a great cloud coming over them was certainly reminiscent of historic revelations of God Himself to His people. And sure enough, a voice came forth from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." After this monumental moment, all was as it was before. They no longer saw anyone but Jesus only. What an experience those 3 men had just had. Jesus had certainly meant for them to witness that event and then be able to go and tell everyone else about it. Such news, such eyewitness testimony to Jesus' glory as of the only Son from the Father would be enough. Certainly, to get all the people on Jesus' side. They, no doubt, could not wait to tell the others what they had just been able to see. But what had they just seen? Did they fully understand what Jesus had shown them? Why did Jesus reveal His glory to them and show them His conversing with Moses and Elijah? Why did God the Father Almighty pick that specific time and that specific situation to tell them about Jesus and then give the command to listen to Him? Were they not already following after Jesus and listening to Him? Had they not already called Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God? And so in a stunning move, Jesus commanded those 3 disciples to tell no one what they had just seen. And what on earth was the point? Why bear witness to such a sight? And Jesus adds that they are not to say anything until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And the Gospels record no occurrences of disobedience to this order by Peter, James, and John. So why command it? Why command this secrecy? Jesus knew that the disciples could not possibly understand what they had just seen. None of it would make sense to them until later. All of what Jesus had been doing and would continue to do in his earthly ministry would need to be later reviewed by his people through the lens of his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And filled with the Holy Spirit gifted to them at Pentecost, and looking back on all of these things, including the transfiguration, the disciples would then realize the truths that all they had seen and heard Jesus do was for our eternal life and salvation. That's what Peter, James, and John could not realize. Yet at that moment, this great transfiguration of Jesus upon this high mountaintop was not the pinnacle of Jesus' work. That mountain of glory was not the final spot of Jesus' great ministry. The glory of God seemed so obvious there upon that mountaintop, as it had done in many times in the past. And yet, just like God came into this world with his glory hidden in human flesh, so the glory of God's greatest work for us must be hidden as well. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. These words we hear in our preface for Epiphany. The great glory of God's wondrous work for our salvation is hidden in plain sight on a mountaintop far less spectacular than the one of Jesus' own transfiguration. And yet it was on that other mountaintop that gave us our salvation. On that little mountaintop outside of Jerusalem, many other Jews had already lost their lives. The mountain was called Golgotha, the place of a skull. There was no glory there, and there only was shame and defeat. It was the place of death for those who crossed the Roman authority. Crosses had been seen already there many times, men tied to or nailed to them. Very little of the specifics of the act of crucifixion is recorded in our gospel texts, because most who read them would know the practice all too well. It would call to mind very vivid scenes that they would not care to relive. Such a place, such a deed was truly dreadful, so unlike the Mount of Transfiguration was the Mount of Calvary. Jesus had predicted this, his suffering, his death, to his own disciples several times before. He knew his coming crucifixion would be a torture for them to endure. And so he spoke to them his reassuring words in that upper room discourse on that Holy Thursday night. After witnessing Jesus' death, his disciples would feel completely alone. Yet Jesus told them that they would never be alone. They would not see him for a little while, but then again they would see him. And his passion predictions always, always included the promise of his resurrection. With Jesus, hope will always be found in the midst of sadness. To further strengthen them in hope for what was truly to come, our Lord Jesus did allow this great scene, Peter, James, and John, to witness the fullness of his glory as the eternally begotten Son of God. With Jesus as the Son of God, death could certainly not hold him for long. With Moses and Elijah present there with Jesus, we can see that the incarnation of Jesus, his death upon the cross, that is what the work of salvation is all about. It was always going to be that way. As Moses, Elijah, and all the prophets had been given by God Almighty to speak as the truth. And in their glorified state, Moses and Elijah knew what Jesus had come here to do. Those great prophets, too, were sinners, just like you and me. They were just as much in need of Jesus' death and resurrection as you and I am. They trusted that indeed it would one day take place. They needed it to. The sacrifice of Christ as the perfect Lamb of God. We all require the payment for all of our sins, found in one place, and in one place alone. The blood of Jesus, in His death upon the cross. Yes, Peter, James, and John witnessed a most spectacular sight as Jesus was changed, metamorphosed, transfigured right in front of them. They saw the full glory of His identity as God in the flesh, and they were in awe. Yet that was not their salvation. Jesus' transfiguration did not win them the forgiveness of sins. Only His death upon the cross could secure their salvation and ours. Only in the cross of Christ, the way of that cross, is the true glory of God made known. This is what Peter, James, and John came to believe, teach, and confess, and die for, as they were filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled so to do. And St. Paul would join them and keep that spotlight of the cross and of Jesus Christ as the source and life of all of our salvation, the true revelation of God's great glory. Because of Jesus, because of what He has done, we will indeed get to see Him face to face in all of His transfigured glory, and we will live forever to tell about it. What joy, what comfort, what peace is truly yours in Jesus only. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.